There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you've had a spectacular week. It's been a spectacular month for me, crammed into a week. So much has happened. And it's really going to tie itself in beautifully to our topic today, which is episode 2 of our Art of Paying Attention series. I really love this concept because whilst I have been sitting, I go out to my beautiful favorite tree and sit and feel into what wants to emerge right now. What do I feel like the collective wants to talk about? The topic for today is actually attention helps to create reality. Big call, I know, and some people that's a paradigm shift, but I'm seeing so much evidence and living this experience right now, and I really want to share some of it today because I feel like it's quite profound and pertinent to learning, whether it's being children in a learning environment or just learning for life. You know, it could be an apprentice, it could be someone who's learning more about how to be healthy because they're going through a health challenge, so they're shifting. It's like, where is your attention right now? Because it does have a huge impact on the lived experience and the reality that you are living right now and experiencing. And that was really the question that I asked myself is, what am I teaching myself to notice? Because it made me help me focus on awareness. Where is my attention actually going? So no necessarily open story today. I usually love to start with a story because our brain loves to be able to make connections in stories. Today I want to do something which is like a short activity, very, very short, just to help create a point before I move into questions to ponder. And nothing that I am sharing with you today is telling you, I'm not imposing on you any belief systems. I just want to be able to help the curiosity part of your brain activate so that you can walk away and go, does this resonate with me? And also to give you some things to be able to sit with yourself, because it's a big call if attention does in fact help to create our reality around us, then this is a very important topic right now. So what I would love for you to do is I would love to invite you to just look around wherever you are, even if you're driving in a car, just share your awareness. And I want you to find anything that is blue, the color blue. Just notice everything that is blue. It can be any shade of blue, light blue, sky blue, dark blue, royal blue, doesn't really matter, just blue. It could be a book cover, a cushion, someone's shirt, a picture. Then what I would like you to do is look around again a second time. How many red things did you see? Now, most people really struggle with this because the red objects were there all along, but because you were focusing and looking for blue, your brain actually filtered out the awareness of what was red. The red didn't suddenly appear or disappear. The attention changed into what entered into our awareness. And this is a really important point to make because we don't experience everything that's actually available to us all at once. Our brains are really a tool, but it's a filter. We select, we notice some things, and we overlook other things. This is huge when it comes to learning and when it comes to life, because if I am repeatedly asking what's wrong, then I'm going to be filtering out everything that's right, and I'm going to be focusing and getting more evidence of problems. It does shape my reality. if I'm constantly asking, what's possible here? What's possible here? Instead of looking at something as an obstacle or a challenge, it's a what's possible? Then I begin looking for possibilities. If I'm expecting someone to annoy me, if I'm expecting something negative to experience in my life and I'm talking that language as well, then I will notice that the evidence that supports my story turns up. It shows up. And this is why people say, you're such a Pollyanna. You're always, something's always positive. It's like, well, I'm expecting it and I see it everywhere I go. And then that's the reality that I'm living because I'm making that choice of where to put my attention. So the world hasn't changed whatsoever. I'm still living in the same world as the person standing next to me. Well, that could be debatable actually, but my lens has changed. It's what I'm choosing, what I'm habitually looking for. So my question to you is, in your reality right now, in your week right now, what is it that you're constantly looking for? What stories are receiving the most attention in your life right now? And what might be present in your life that you're simply just not even noticing? You're walking past, it's being filtered out. And then another question to ponder is, does the way you're directing your attention expand your experience or is it narrowing your experience? Sometimes attention absolutely needs to go to something that's uncomfortable. If you are in pain, particularly medical, or you're going through something where there was an injustice and you're battling something, then these things, or even a relationship problem, they may need attention, immediate attention. And I'm not denying that. That's certainly something that is a this too shall pass. It's a phase where all of your attention needs to go on that thing. But the question for that for me is, for me personally, is I don't want to get stuck there. Because sometimes you can continually relive and relive things that have happened. And then that's where the victim mindset loop can begin because you're constantly replaying into that loop of where that attention went with whatever that event happened in your life. And the same thing for this can happen when it comes to learning. If you have, and for learners, if it's a not so good experience with, you know, I'm not good at maths or, oh my gosh, I didn't do very well in that, whatever, dot, 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 then that's a story that that learner can continually tell themselves. And then it just perpetuates where they're putting attention. So these sorts of things have a huge impact on the experience, the lived experience you have in your life, which ultimately helps shape the reality. Because the story that we're commonly living is seen through the lens of our reality. Everybody is looking at something from their own perception. And two people can experience exactly the same event and walk away with completely different stories about what happened. I have had so much evidence of this in my life. An example of this is years ago when I was traveling around Scandinavia, actually went and traveled around Scandinavia and Russia. It was fantastic. And we had stopped in a forest not far from Norway, from outside Oslo. And it was Viking country. And it was just fantastic. We were learning all about the history and really feeling into it. And the group of people that we were with, we had a bonfire that night and we were telling stories. And it was such an amazing experience. I adored it. But when we came back home to Australia and we were talking, the person that I was traveling with, we were talking to our family about this event that we went to. Both of us had completely different stories to tell. And I mean, to the point where we looked at each other and it's like, were we even in the same place? Because I didn't see that. I didn't experience that. And they hadn't experienced what I had experienced. It was actually very interesting. And it was the first time that I can remember consciously thinking, is it possible we lived in two different realities? Were we even on the same timeline? But what's come to my attention now is that they were filtering out and seeing what they chose to see, and I was doing the exact same thing. Our attention was selective. So our previous experiences and our expectations and our beliefs and our emotional state, all of that matters because it's helping your brain choose what to filter out and choose what to focus on, which in turn affects the reality that we are living. Our system is constantly filtering, and this is actually quite helpful. Otherwise, it would be completely overwhelming. We cannot consciously process every sound, every sensation, every movement, every piece of information that's surrounding us. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of pieces of information right now, down to the taste of the last piece of food that you ate on your tongue, the feel of the chair underneath your legs, the breeze that is, you know, kissing your cheek when you're walking outside. There's constantly different sensations. The system is filtering and it's helping us to do that. But it also means that there may be things occurring that we're not perceiving because it's being filtered out. And I really feel like this is really worthwhile having that conversation around bias then, because quite often you can read a piece of text with a student and have a conversation, and they're seeing it from their own biased lens, from their own perspective. And everybody is. They're putting their own meaning and making their own meaning on what it is that they're putting their attention on. So that's actually a fascinating conversation. That's a whole nother show, that topic. But the different lens is worth bringing up because it also helps us to consider the language that we're using. Because when we're describing what it is that we're noticing, the language can actually direct us to what we are noticing next. So instead of saying, why is this always happening to me? You know, when you go on that sort of spiral, you could switch the language to saying, oh, what is this situation showing me? So just by changing that question, the attention can shift in direction. Or instead of a teacher or a parent saying, oh, what's wrong with this child? They could switch the lens to, what is this child communicating to me through whatever their behavior is, whatever it is that they're doing? How are they communicating? What are they trying to communicate to me? That shifts the lens. It shifts the attention just by asking that question in that language. Instead of someone saying, why can't I do this? Oh, I can't do this. Shift it to, what haven't I learnt yet? There needs to be something else that I'm missing, a skill or something that I need to learn that I haven't learnt yet. So that's why you can't do this, because there's still more to learn. And this is really valuable when it comes into the learning situation, because I don't know how many times over the years I've heard someone saying, oh, you're not good at maths. And then all of a sudden they start noticing every single mistake that they make in maths as confirmation that they're not good at maths. And yet mistakes are how we learn, and we all make mistakes at maths. It's just a given. But the shifting of the lens and the perspective and then the expectation, it's that self-fulfilling prophecy. Then their lens is actually looking, their attention is actually going to find evidence to validate what their belief is. And a lot of these beliefs are programmed into us at a very, very young age. So even when you are well into your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, beyond, we are often running on programming that was installed in us, belief systems and programming, as a child. And sometimes until you bring your attention to it, we don't even know. It's almost running in the background by default. So sometimes you might hear another learner, instead of saying, I'm not good at maths and noticing all the mistakes, they might say, well, I just haven't found a way that makes sense to me yet. They're inviting to look for possibility. It could be the same learner, but they're looking at using different language, and that different language helps the direction of the intention. It's directing. That also then fits into intention. What intention do you have? Potentially very different choices follow this. I'd love for you to be able to experiment with this in the next week. Even just today, notice where your attention is going, and is it where you choose for that attention to be, or is it just you've gotten into a rut of living life by default and there's so much passing you by that you don't even realize anymore? Our questions are really like search engines for attention. And if you ask a different question, you may receive a completely different set of results, which in my direct experience begins to shape a different reality that I'm experiencing, lived experience. And of course, this fits into the embodied perspective. You know, the body also follows attention. So there's lots of experiments that you can do about this. And for this week's article, I will add a couple of experiments that you might want to play with, and you can do them with young children. You can do them at any age, actually. I find them very interesting as well, where you can have a look at considering how attention changes in our internal experience in our body as well, depending on where you'll put your intention in your body. So one of the activities could be where you're noticing your breath work. You're noticing your jaw. Sometimes your jaw might be loose. Sometimes you might be grinding or holding tension in your jaw. Or maybe your shoulders. It could be tension in your shoulders or your belly or your chest. As soon as you bring attention to something that's beautiful and nourishing in your life, like a child or an animal or the ocean or someone that you love, you know, your favorite pet, basically a place or something that you feel peaceful, and then go back to that where you're holding tension in the body, you don't even have to consider changing the state. What happens is the internal experience just shifts because you have started focusing your attention on something positive and peaceful, and it gets mirrored in your body. Your bodies participate in what we attend to. And I believe that this is one of the reasons why some people, you might call them hypochondriacs, people who focus on nothing but being ill, and they're looking for something wrong to be ill. Their body responds and says, "Your wish is my command. Okay, we're not doing well." And the cells in the body are listening, always listening to what you're communicating and what it is that you're choosing by what you're putting your attention on, rather than someone that's saying, "I choose to be fit and healthy." Even if the physical reality is not saying that at the time, usually they bounce back and heal much faster and align and recalibrate much faster. I'm really hesitant to use the word heal these days, because if I say heal, it's actually indicating subconsciously that I'm sick and that I'm unwell. So for me, it's more out of balance. What's too high or too low, and needs to be brought back into my balance so that my body is just healthy. So I'm shifting and reshaping the language that I'm using and how I speak to my body. And really, this comes back to nature's wisdom. We all know I love nature. I bring it up every show because I really feel like the natural way of being is the true way of living, rather than the superficial life that we seem to be corralled into today. I really like to slow down, because slower is faster. When you slow down and actually take the time to notice what's around you, what are you watering? If there are two garden beds and every day you're watering one garden bed, but the other one receives nothing, which one grows? You know, these are really great analogies to have with children. Attention works very similarly. And it's got nothing to do with ignoring. It's got nothing to do with pretending that it's not happened and being in denial. It's where are you putting your time and your energy and relationships? Because in my opinion, relationships drive everything in our reality. Thoughts can be watered. Skills can be watered. Our relationships can be watered. You know, what deposits are you putting in your relationship bank account? Or are you constantly making withdrawals from your relationship bank account, which depletes the relationship? Fear can be watered. If you're constantly focusing on fear and drama and all the things that's wrong in the world, you're just going to continually see, your brain is going to filter out everything that's good, and you're going to get validated with what you're choosing to focus on. It's a downward spiral slope that is one that can be easily interrupted if you choose to shift your attention, break that pattern. Curiosity can be watered. Gratitude can be watered. Gratitude, such a powerful, powerful tool that we have at our disposal. Wherever you are, have a look around. Look at something that's beautiful. Color is a frequency. Notice a color that's around you right now. And then you go, oh, really love that color or the depth of that color or the shade. If you're lucky enough to be outside or being able to see nature right now, notice something that is just beautiful. It's like, wow, it could be even. Look at that flower. Look at that leaf. Look at the way that that bee is humming along and having a happy little life, not worrying about anything. It's just living in the moment. Also, the stories that we tell us about ourselves, who we are, our identity, that can be watered as well. And that's also a very important point to bring up, particularly with learners. If you are a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, a neighbor, someone who has anything to do with young children, you are part of them, shaping them and the stories that they tell themselves. Because the words that you're using validate and sometimes help them to shift the attention in something within them. I'm going to give you an example. I remember back in the day, in the olden days, I remember, yes, I'm going to tell one of those stories, being at school, and it was grade 3 and an ordinary day, and I had a music teacher. We had a music lesson in the class, and she made us all line up in a long line. We had to stand in a piano at the piano. She played a key, and we had to sing that key. I feel at the time, with my memory, she was actually trying to sort us out to see who could sing for the school choir. Because not long after that, I was actually put in a school choir. But I remember this music teacher turned to my classroom teacher who was standing beside her, and they had a conversation about me in front of me. They didn't even speak to me, but I listened to what they said about the frequency of my voice when I sang. And I can't remember the exact words, but I remember how I felt. I remember how it made me feel. And I remember thinking, wow, I can sing. I like music. That one comment that they made actually shaped how I saw myself and helped me to embrace singing and music. And it has a huge ripple effect throughout my entire life. That one comment, I can actually pin it back to that one comment. Now, if you're a parent or a grandparent or a teacher aide, whoever you happen to be very mindful of the words that you say around children. They are listening. And if you're saying a word to children, you are helping them validate or you are helping them choose where they are putting their attention. Now, negative, positive, I don't want to give a label to anything. It's just what they're going to focus on. It's a really important thing to remember because our attention participates in the creation. It helps us work out where we're going to be putting our energy. There's so much that we can unpack here. And then I don't know if anyone's heard of the double slit experiment. If you haven't, then it's too complicated for me because I don't have the scientific language to explain it. But I would just research it on whichever search engine is your preference. I don't like to say just Google it these days because I use lots of different search engines other than Google. But I would just do a quick search for the double slit experiment. And there's little YouTube clips that explain it. They're very short, they're very quick, and they're fascinating to watch, particularly with children and teenagers, to ask them, what do you think about this? Because in the experiment, basically they're looking at the quantum scale, and what we can observe depends on how the system is being measured. So it's looking at what was being observed in the box. As soon as there was an observer, what was being filmed and being observed changed and shifted because an observer was observing it, which links into all sorts of conversations around consciousness and our thoughts and the quantum physics and do our thoughts create the reality that we choose based on where we are putting our attention. Now, I'm not sure about the science behind the quantum. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm fascinated about this topic, but I'm by no means any sort of expert. But it really does make me stop and think about how much we experience is influenced by what we are observing and measuring and seeking and paying attention to. So check it out if you haven't heard it before. If you have, I would encourage you to share the knowledge or share the clip with someone who doesn't know. Like, share it out there because it's really important for us to have paradigm shifts and constantly question things, and share new knowledge as it's coming forth right now. So much is happening right now. It really opened my eyes up to possibilities, really, the possibilities. There's so many different experiments. I can't remember the details of one that I watched. It was probably about 6 months ago of, oh gosh, I cannot even remember who it was, so I probably shouldn't even be mentioning, but I will. It's very, very vague. They had cells, like taken cells from a person in a petri dish, and they took those cells and took it, I don't know, another city, other side of the country. I cannot even remember the details of it, but when the person who had the original cells, skin cells, or hair samples, whatever it was that they had, when they shifted and changed their attention and the original person did something, the cells in the petri dish also changed according to where they put their intention. It was a fascinating experiment. Now it's got me curious. I need to go back and find it and find the details. But it started making me wonder. What is possible? My imagination just went wild. It was like, what? Say what? Anything is possible. Just because it hasn't been in my awareness right now of how things actually work in our reality doesn't mean I cannot choose to go and put my attention and find out about these things. Because it really comes back to attention helps shape our reality. And then our imagination really expands the possibilities. Not thinking by default and thinking what we were told to think all of the time. And this is the problem with many schools today is it's we are indoctrinating, because that's exactly what it is. We are telling them what to think instead of opening up the curiosity and teaching them how to choose, make choices, making choices, which is participating in creation. Instead of children just consuming content that we are handing to them, how can they participate in creation? That whole attention create reality is quite nuanced, actually. And there is a huge part of this for me, which is really humbling. I think humility is quite important because this has huge implications for the stance of our future learner. To be able to remain curious enough to question what you know, discerning enough not to just believe everything blindly that they've been told, regardless of where the source is coming from. We've been trained to believe experts. Some of these people just have a name badge. They're not necessarily an expert. What makes them an expert? Lived experience is more important. And of course, the future learner also, needs to have the imagination or be imaginative enough to explore something that they're not necessarily believing. I feel like that fits in back into the whole lifelong learner. There's so many questions that I'd love to, I can talk about this for days. It's really fascinating, but I really want to bring this back. I'm going to wrap this up with a big fat bow now. I want to bring this back to ask you the question for yourself. No, notice where your attention is being captured this week, or just today, or just even for the next hour. Where is your attention going? And then ask yourself also, is this where I'm choosing to place my attention? Because our life is always inviting our intention. But this week, I really feel like there's something there that's waiting to be seen that we're not noticing. And I encourage you to find that. All right, beautiful people. I will look forward to seeing you next week with our continuing this conversation. It's fascinating. Thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you.
carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.